As part of our March for Meals event, Copper Shores Meals on Wheels is looking for your help. We offer weekly community meals in Calumet, Chassel, Hancock, Lake Linden, and Mohawk that are open to the entire community, but focus on our community seniors. The events offer healthy meals and help bring our community closer together. But we need your help in coming up with a great name for these events. We have $25 in QAnon cash available as a prize for whoever has the best name suggestion. Submit names at coppershores.org/mealsonwheels or by calling 483-1155.
Once again, good Sunday morning and welcome to Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Our program is brought to you by the Copper Shores Community Health Foundation. They're online, of course, at coppershores.org. We have been watching for the last year or more now the progress of the transfer of the Finnish American Heritage Center and related activities from the now defunct Finlandia University into the care and now ownership of the Finlandia Foundation, which is a national organization that has stepped in to help keep these things going. The folks from the Finlandia Foundation have been in town this weekend for some meetings, and three of them actually stopping by the studio here to talk with me in person. First of all, Anne-Marie Pastor, we've talked before on the phone, but it's nice to meet you in person.
Nice to be here again.
And Tommy Flanagan is here. You're kind of the local representative of this.
Well, I'm becoming more local. I've certainly been to Hancock a couple times now in the past year, and it feels more and more like home, honestly, every time I come here. But it's good to be with you, Todd.
Well, I saw you jumping into the pond at the polar bear dive at Hakenbeivis, so you're finding your way around.
Yes,
here.
I've really taken the plunge in a lot of ways. So.
Yes, you have. And Michelle Wendell is here. Michelle, what's your status with all of this?
I am one of the board members of Finlandia Foundation, one of the people in this smaller group that originally stepped up and said that, you know, if we don't come in and rescue this, then what's the purpose of our foundation? Which really has a purpose of saving Finnish culture, saving and advancing Finnish culture in this country.
Why is that so important? I mean, that may be a stupid question on its face, but why does it matter?
Which part of it?
Well, it's part of American history.
Well, it is.
Yeah, we don't see this as Finnish history or Finnish past or Finnish American history. This is American history, and I think that is one of those things that why this is important for us.
I mean, we understand it here because we've still got 35% or more of us who have Finnish blood, Finnish ancestry from those people who came over more than a century ago. But other parts of the country, probably not as Finnish as ours. There are some other Finnish enclaves, aren't there?
Yeah, there are plenty of Finnish enclaves. You go to different states from Massachusetts to California and cross country. But this is, don't we call this pesäpaikka? That's what I've heard.
Yeah, the nesting place.
The nesting place.
Okay, and we'll take that. We enjoy the Finnish heritage here, even those of us who are not Finnish. Sometimes when Hakenbaiva comes around, I have to be Todd Van Dykenen.
Well, but that's also an interesting part, you know, experiencing this for the first time. I had no, experience in Copper Country, but coming up here and just seeing, you can really see the Finnish American heritage here. And that was a striking thing about Hakenbaiva. Not everybody who goes to that is Finnish, but there's still a cultural Finnish American-ness here that people identify with, even if they have no Finnish ethnicity connection, which I think is sort of the power of it, really. And when you go to these other Finnish enclaves in the country, oftentimes people will have a personal or family connection in their own history that actually does come back to Copper Country. So there's all these lines that, you know, the nesting place, it really, a lot of it started here, not all of it, not all of the Finnish American story is here, but certainly a lot of it draws right back here.
Yeah, we have a lot of people in the suburban Detroit area who have ties back to here. There's a big Finnish community down there, and they are all people who had to move out of this area when the mines began closing. I mean, they talk about the northern migration from the south up to the industrial belt. We had a southern migration from here. Lots of people had to leave because they couldn't find work, and it's amazing how many times we find cousins and second cousins and aunts and uncles and relatives down in that Detroit area, and they have the same names as up here, and you and ask and you say, oh yeah, my grandfather worked in the mines, my great-grandfather worked in the mines. So
yeah,
it spreads out. It gets diluted, I suppose, after a period of time. You know, at one point, I'm sure the percentage of Finnish ancestry here was much higher than the 35 to 40% that it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember Jim Curti, before we hosted FinFest here a number of years ago, and I was part of the organization for that, and I had Jim Curti in the studio from the Finnish American Heritage Center and his cousin, who was visiting from Finland, and I asked her what the big difference was between Finland and Hancock. And she said, oh, Hancock is much more Finnish. And her point was that we, I think, in some cases, pay more attention to this heritage than the counterparts over in the motherland. Do we?
Absolutely. And I think that happens in every culture. Actually, as a small example, I can say that it happens in Finland too. I, in Finland, where I was born, actually belong to the Swedish-speaking minority. And the Swedish language in Finland has basically stagnated. And when I go to Sweden and speak Finnish, people think that I'm from a century back or two. And that's because development doesn't happen in the same way when you become a smaller group. And that is something that we see here in many of the areas where there are these Finnish enclaves.
We hear that from Finns who visit as well. Yeah, our Finnish sounds quaint.
Yeah.
Old-fashioned, yeah, out of yeah. date, because yeah, yeah. we kind of are caught in time, and they have moved on. Finland, of course, a major success story over the last half century, turning into, it was kind of a backwater country a half century ago, and now a technological leader and an economic leader, and every year these days it yeah. seems to come out as the happiest place on earth.
Yeah, recently did for seventh year in a row, I guess, and that's really, Todd, one of the things that Finlandia Foundation National has to, that we're interested in both of those things, right? The Finnish-American heritage that is here is obviously so important to us, but also modern-day Finland and contemporary Finland and connecting the U.S. to that and being that bridge. So, you know, Michelle was talking about it. We sort of try to balance both of those things, really.
So you're here having board meetings and things of that nature. There are also going to be some events going on as we're recording this on Thursday morning. Those events, unfortunately, will have passed by the time we air this on Sunday. But there is going to be on Saturday a rededication of the Finnish American Heritage Center.
Yeah, on Friday.
Friday.
That's Friday. You're right. Yeah. Friday. I'm sorry. Friday, that's going to happen. Why is that center, why is that building so important? You own it now.
We own it. It's all ours, and now we are trying to figure out what to do with it, actually. But it's all the archives, all the collections. They are all there. They have a place to stay, and we have other thoughts going forward. But this is going to be the ground floor, so to speak. And but we have bigger thoughts going forward also.
Well, and my first thought when you folks stepped in was a national organization is going to want our Finnish heritage here to take, I would suspect, and correct me if I'm wrong, to take and assume a much wider footprint, to be more accessible to people in Finnish communities across the nation. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. And there is the Finnish communities, and then there is this other grouping that we sort of touched on here, which we call the wannabe Finns, people who are interested in Finland.
That would
even
be me.
even if they don't have a genetic sort of connection. But for the genetically Finnish people, one of the really important things in this is the archives, because there is just a ton of information about old families and ties and events and this and that in those tons of paper that we have. And one of our objectives is to actually go in and digitize all of this to make it available to the public so that people can actually, back in Finland or here, start to figure out, you know, who am I related with?
Yeah.
Where do we come from? What do we represent? This and that. And those are things that are not available today because it's all stuck on pieces of paper in this building. Yeah.
How big an effort is that going to be, Tommy?
It's going to be a major effort. I mean, we were really lucky, as you probably saw the news in the last year, to do a significant amount of fundraising thanks to the support from people across the country. But digitization, you can ask any archivist about this, is a major undertaking of financial resources and time and expertise. So it's going to be a major thing. It will be a project that's rolled out over the next years, honestly, mm-hmm. Todd.
And yeah. It's going to be an all-hands-on-deck project. And we have aspirations, like specifically this online presence, to build it so that this becomes available. But also physically creating probably programs like traveling exhibitions or such that we can take out and showcase to our friends of Finland.
Yeah, I mean, those of us who are Finnish and those of us like me who are part of keeping this tradition alive here. We were so gratified, first of all, that your organization stepped in, and then to see the response from around the country and some significant gifts from people who didn't necessarily have a connection to this area, who thought this was important. That knocked me over, quite honestly. I was really, 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 really stunned by that, and pleasantly so.
Yeah. You said it exactly right. We were also stunned by the response when we started, you know, seeing people committing to this with anything from a small donation to much larger donations, right? And, you know, we could not have done this. We took the initiative to do this project, but we couldn't have done it without people actually stepping up and contributing. You know, and our real cornerstone donation came in right toward in the last couple months from the sale of the FCA Senior Citizens Housing Corporation Tapiola Apartments in Farmington Hills, Michigan, right? So
yeah.
That's actually another interesting story within this. There were people from all over the country who don't have a connection here who gave to it, but then the real cornerstone gift really came from another part of this state, right? And like you said earlier, that southern-northern connection is also
yeah, a whole
visible.
Lot of people down there. We're related to people
Absolutely.
Up here, or descendants from people
That's
up here.
Right.
I type and post obituaries on our website on a daily basis, and it's amazing how many times I see, you know, so-and-so of suburban Detroit, roots in the Copper Country, and they, even though maybe they never lived here, they want the obituary published here because there are friends of the family here and people that they've been in touch with. So that's a very, very strong tie. Hockey players.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We've had a bunch of them from that area come up here to Michigan Tech, and you look at the name and say, oh, they're locals. No, they're not. But they were at one time or another. So how do we grow this? Aside from this major digitizing adventure, and that can't be overstated how tough that is and how much time it takes. What other kinds of things can we put in place here that people can have access to in the Detroit area and in other areas across the country and the world?
I think that Anne-Marie just mentioned it, is that we have to, for much of the physical effects that we have here, we have to organize them into traveling exhibitions, because as we all know from having been here a few times, there isn't a whole lot of outside foot traffic here, specifically not in the winter times.
Really?
But
hadn't noticed.
Yeah. But these really valuable things that we have in the archives are still interesting. And if people aren't coming here, we have to circulate them around the country and probably take some of them back to Finland for a while, so that people there get a realization of that we have some serious pieces and artifacts that are culturally very important and that really ties sort of this together. Because in Finland, people don't really realize that there is probably closer to 1 million people in this country that are genetically sort of Finnish related.
Well, and Finland is not an overpopulated country to begin with.
No.
So it's not like the United States saying, well, we got 1 million expats.
Yeah.
There are 350 million of us here. Finland is what more? Six million?
Five and a half.
Yeah, six million.
Yeah. Yeah.
The population of Finland is less than the population of Michigan.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, we need to keep that tie in place. Yeah. We've also done some work on this side to try to build some economic ties across the pond with Finland, and that's something that I'm hoping that we can continue to pursue as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And when you're asking about growing it, I think it is connecting the cultural and the heritage piece we have to those types of things, increasing the business connections. There's all kinds of energy around Finland right now, like you said earlier. And if we can tap into that and bring this story to it, then I think that's how we do it. We have the folk school that serves a different audience. We have an art gallery that serves a different audience. We have a publication and a bookstore. So there's lots of ways to grow it, Todd. So
yeah, but we have to remember we cannot do this alone.
Right.
Physically, we don't have enough staffing, but also even as Finlandia Foundation National, we can't do this alone. We are already working on different kinds of partnerships with relevant parties across the country, so different museums or the Nordics, Scandinavians, Americans, government, whatever it may be. But we need to build these partnerships and work together.
Talking with Anne-Marie Pastor and Tommy Flanagan and Michelle Wendell from the Finlandia Foundation National. A lot of people didn't realize you existed here. There were a lot of people who did not know, and they saw Finlandia Foundation, and they assumed it was some remnant of the university. It is not. Give me, again, a brief history of the Finlandia Foundation.
Sure, I can definitely do that. And it is sort of an unfortunate name connection, but it is a completely separate organization.
Yeah, they never were associated.
No, they weren't. So Finlandia Foundation National has been around now for 71 years, and we are national in scope in that we have local chapters across the country, right around 60. There's a local chapter here that some people know as the Finnish Theme Committee. So that's one of our chapters and has been for a while. We run a pretty robust, for the size of our organization, a pretty robust grants and scholarships program. That's been the bread and butter of what we've done for years, is supporting Finnish and Finnish Americans in projects and studies in all of the Finnish American communities in the U.S. We sponsor a program such as Lecturer, Performer, and Artist of the Year. And as you mentioned, you know, we're going to have our Performer and our Lecturer of the Year here in Hancock, and we select them and they travel to our different communities and affiliates throughout the country. So we organize that. And then trying to be present anywhere in the country where Finland is being represented and trying to highlight that. So that in and of itself is a full-time job and has been what we've done for 71 years. and now we're adding this into the mix.
So what can we do as citizens here in the Copper Country who have an interest in supporting this, the Finnish outreach that we've had here for so long, and now by extension, interested in supporting your foundation? How do we step up and help you?
Well, I think that we can start from the grassroots and just visit us. That's the first thing. Bring your friends. Those are like the grassroots efforts. And talk about this. This is, and we have to all remember that we have to be proud of this. This is something actually quite fantastic. We are bringing this to our to the future, to the future generations. We want people, our children, our grandchildren, and so forth, to learn from this. And we want this to remain relevant for future generations to come.
Yeah, we have an event coming up as we were airing this on Sunday morning. It's this coming Friday. There's a fundraiser for the Kiviat Dancers, mm-hmm. Kay Seppala's organization. And I'll be playing there with the Backroom Boys, Oren Tikkanen and company. We always donate our time for that because she does such a wonderful job teaching these young kids how to not only dance, but about Finnish culture. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of thing that I would like to see a lot of support of here, and I suspect everybody would.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And Kay Seppala does a great job, and you know, Kivayat is such a unique group, and that's what to be proud of in this area. So Anna-Mari's right. It's about the grassroots level, getting involved. And as everybody knows, a nonprofit is only survives if there's funding. So take a look at our mission. There's no mission if there's no funding. We've been lucky this past year to be able to fund the Saving Finland in America. But going forward, you know, that's the kind of support it's always going to take as well.
Yep. There are people on staff here. There are buildings,
right.
Large building in this case that needs to be maintained.
Correct.
And they're not going to raise enough money from the bookstore to fund this whole adventure. So we need to step up. And I will mention as well, talking with Jim Curti and David Mackey over the last few months. The Finnish Theme Committee needs some new members. They need some new blood.
Yes, yes, everybody locally should join that. And even if you're just Fintrested, if you're interested in Finland, you should still join the Finnish Theme Committee to get involved. And we would welcome that.
And sure, everybody should subscribe to Finnish American Reporter. That's a requirement.
Yes.
But I think that one of the things that we really want to underline, that even if the Finnish American Heritage Center, as its name says, is really more of a representation of the past, our focus really has to be in the future, because our membership, our donorship, and all of that lies in the future and in the young people. So we have to have much more of a focus on contemporary Finland and what Finland is today, how we got to where we are, and how that is relevant here, and how it's relevant for the people here, and how they actually can sort of start to take more pride in what Finland is today than what it was when their grandparents moved over.
And time is the enemy in this case. I grew up in Kalamazoo. I'm Dutch. Everybody in Kalamazoo was Dutch when I was growing up. I went to a very large church and one day figured out I was related to a third of it. The same way that the Finnish society is yet here. You know, everybody's related to everybody. But over, you know, the half century or more since I was young in Kalamazoo, much of that has been lost. It's not a Dutch community anymore. You don't hear the Dutch things going on. And as time fades that here, we have to find ways to keep things fresh, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And we have to remember, when we talk about history, we are not only talking about something that happened 100 years ago. Today is tomorrow's history.
Absolutely.
So it goes on and on and on, and we have to stay relevant and change accordingly.
And I will bring back the old quote from Henry Ford. If you don't know history, if you don't listen to it, you're doomed to repeat it.
Yeah.
And, you know, mistakes have been made in history, and we need to understand them and understand, you know, how we can make our future better because of it. We learn from history.
Yeah. So, absolutely.
So the Finlandia, the Finnish American Heritage Center, there are things there that I think that even local people don't know about. A lot of people don't understand the war museum. They don't know about that. How can people see these things today?
Well, you mentioned the Price of Freedom War Museum.
Yeah.
That was something that was visible at the Jutila Center here, but that got taken down for a brief period of time. But we're hoping, you know, this weekend it'll actually, a part of that museum will be up in Northwind Books to view. So people can stop by Northwind Books this coming week, and the Price of Freedom War Museum, a part of that will be on display there. So we encourage that. You can always stop by the Heritage Center to see the art gallery, what's being displayed in the art gallery. That's open to the public. Every time there's an exhibit there's an opening reception that the public can join, and people interested in the archive specifically should not hesitate to be in touch with us directly, with our archivists, and schedule an appointment to go through it. We have, like you said, all kinds of records there, and people will be surprised what they'll find.
And genealogy is all the rage.
It is.
These days.
It is.
And a lot of what is here is only here. I mean, you can go online to Ancestry.com or one of those websites and find a lot of things, but you can't necessarily find what's here until, Michelle, we get that digitization done.
Absolutely.
And that's a long thing.
And there is also already like a ton of oral history there. And I would not, I don't want to forget folk school activities.
Correct.
Join folk school activities. There's a fantastic programs going on.
The other thing that we might look at is that I'm sure there are families here who have heirlooms and would want those to be safeguarded. And of course, you can pass it down from person to person, generation to generation in the family. But some of my family's archives and things that came from my great-grandfather, we donated to a museum in the area where I grew up. Do you accept donations such as that? And can you safeguard them on behalf of a family who says, I want to make sure these things don't get lost and other people can see them?
Yeah, that's a great point, because that's what this, that's how this archive was built, right? Was by organizations and families, you know, giving their records for the archive. I will say just openly, we are suffering from a bit of a space issue, just because when the university closed, a lot of the artifacts in other parts of the university and other buildings actually that belong to the archive are now collected there. So we have sort of a backlog of things that we're going through and cataloging. But yes, absolutely, the collection is to be a living collection that grows with time. So I would say get in touch with us if you have those items, and we're always willing for that kind of consultation.
You're going to have to physically expand the facility at some point?
Most likely.
Maybe a little early to start thinking about that.
It might be a little early, but it is a you know, something that's on the list of things to be discussed for sure.
All right. Well, we're glad to have you all in town. Again, we appreciate very much your stepping in to help save something that we hold very dear here in this community. Anne-Marie Pastor and Tommy Flanagan and Michelle Wendell, thank you so much, and safe travels as you head back home.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
You have a good one.